Arvind Kejriwal says he will send, quote unquote, more than half of BJP to jail if he gets control of central agencies, the CBI and the ED. Mere ko 24 ghante ke liye CBI aur ED de do. Aadhi se zyada BJP jail mein nahi ho, to mere ko kehna. Basically, give me CBI and ED for 24 hours. And if more than half of BJP is not in jail, tell me. Kejriwal said at an NDTV town hall last Thursday. Well, Kejriwal may have to wait for 1.5 years at least to take control of those agencies, if at all. He'll have to first emerge as Prime Minister Narendra Modi's principal challenger in 2024 Lok Sabha election. In August 2018, I, along with my colleagues, had extensive discussions with prominent people who had worked very closely with Kejriwal since 2011 Anna Hazare's anti-corruption movement. We wanted to understand Kejriwal's ideology, and frankly, I have not been able to figure out his ideology till today. So basically, we wanted to understand his ideology and his ultimate political objective. As we reported then, Kejriwal had a clear blueprint of how to occupy 7 Lok Kalyan Marg, the Prime Minister's residence, in 2019. According to that unwritten blueprint, as shared by his former comrades in arms with us, the march to 7 LKL was to start with the capture of power in Delhi first. The next destination was going to be Punjab in early 2017, and then Gujarat in late 2017, and Rajasthan in November-December 2018. These electoral conquests were to set the stage for Arvind Kejriwal's Independence Day speech from Lal Killa in 2019. By August 2018, when the print reported it, the plan had gone haywire as the AAP continued in power in the national capital but lost out in Punjab and Gujarat. Modi ended up delivering the Independence Day speech from the ramparts of the Red Fort in 2019 too. Cut to 2022. Kejriwal must be looking at that blueprint again. He is well ensconced in Delhi, has conquered Punjab, and is now seeking a mandate from Gujaratis for a what he calls Kattar Imandar and Deshbhakt party. Very honest and patriotic party. That is the AAP, as he says. One can't read the minds of Gujarati voters, but the AAP convener, one of the sharpest politicians that he is, must have graded expectations. For the AAP that secured total a little over 29,000 votes in 29 seats that it contested in 2017 elections, it requires a big leap of faith to, you know, think of defeating the BJP that secured close to 15 million votes in Gujarat with a vote share of 49% 5 years back. So it was AAP getting 29,000 votes in 29 seats and BJP getting 15 million votes. But that was 2017. The AAP has certainly created a buzz in this Gujarat election, but then it's too big a gap to fill. Even in Delhi, where the Aam Aadmi Party was riding a mass movement in the run-up to 2013 assembly election, the party fell short of a majority. In the next election, 2 years later, the AAP finally managed to trounce its rivals. The same was the case in 2017 Punjab election, where the AAP created a lot of buzz but ended up with just 20 seats in the 117-member assembly, with around 24% vote share. But 5 years later, in 2022, it managed to trounce its rivals in Punjab, thanks also to the Congress. Therefore, when it comes to Gujarat, Kejriwal may be a bit conservative in his expectations, notwithstanding the hyperboles in his speeches. He would obviously be looking at the best scenario, but he wouldn't take his eyes off what I would call the second best and the third best scenarios. The second best scenario is that the AAP emerges as the principal opposition party in Gujarat. It's not going to be easier either. The Congress secured over 41% votes in 2017, and it's very much present on the ground even today. When I was in Gujarat about a fortnight back, early this month, an AAP leader told me that, you know, his party's internal survey showed the Congress getting just about 18% of votes, the AAP 34% and the BJP 36%. So basically, as he was claiming, that there was just a difference of 2 percentage points in their vote shares. That was early this month. I had to take these so-called surveys with a pinch of salt, especially when it was coming from a stakeholder who was sharing the purported results of those surveys. But if the final outcome is anywhere close to the claimed and purported predictions of the internal surveys, the Aam Aadmi Party will use it to project itself as the only national challenger to the BJP in the run-up to the 24 elections. Kejriwal would, however, require the help of the Congress in 2023 before he is considered Modi's principal challenger. But before we come to this point, let's take a look at the third best scenario for the AAP, as I mentioned, that is coming third, but with enough vote share and seats to become a national party. It needs to secure just over 6% votes and 2 seats in the assembly to be recognized as a state party in Gujarat. The AAP is already recognized as a state party in Delhi, Punjab and Goa. If the AAP becomes recognized as a state party in the fourth state, that is Gujarat, then it will be recognized as a national party. That itself should be enough for the AAP to project itself as the BJP's national challenger. But it must be the worst scenario Kejriwal would be looking at today. Coming back to the second best scenario, that is Kejriwal emerging as Modi's challenger despite losing to the BJP in Gujarat, the AAP can't do without the Congress party's help. Let me explain. At least 9 states will go to polls in 2023. 3 of them, Tripura, Meghalaya and Nagaland, will have elections 3 months from now in February, while Karnataka will go to polls in May. The AAP is hardly present in any of these states and has little time left to make a splash in, you know, any of these states, as I said, regardless of its performance in Gujarat. 5 other states, Rajasthan, Chhattisgarh, Madhya Pradesh, Telangana and Mizoram, will go to polls in November-December 2023. As it is, the AAP is barely present in these 5 states either. It will, however, have 1 year to prepare. If it gets a big momentum in Gujarat, it may hope to build on that in these states, the other 5 states I spoke about. That is where Kejriwal needs the Congress party's help. As you know, Telangana is likely to witness a straight contest between the BJP and the Telangana Rashtra Samiti, unless the Congress somehow manages to come from behind and make it a triangular contest. That doesn't leave much room for the AAP, even though the party MLA, Somnath Bharti, who has been entrusted with Telangana, has just started making frequent visits to the state. The AAP is barely present in the remaining 3 states, Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh. But remember Kejriwal's blueprint for 2019. He was looking at Rajasthan in November-December to propel him to the prime position in 2019. Going by how Ashok Gehlot-Sachin Pilot fight is playing out in Rajasthan, with the Congress High Command looking the other way, Kejriwal may have reasons to hope from the Congress to repeat its Punjab experiments in the desert state too. And if the AAP is able to spring a surprise in Rajasthan, just month ahead of Lok Sabha election, it will give a big fillip to the Delhi CM's hope to address from the Lal Killa. He must also be keeping a tab on the center's moves in Jammu and Kashmir. The AAP has been trying to build its organization to expand its footprints in the Union Territory, especially in the Jammu region. I mean, they have been doing it for months. For once, the party is quite discreet about its JNK plans. But going by its preparations in Jammu and Kashmir, it seems to be plotting a surprise for its political rivals there in Jammu and Kashmir. That is, in Jammu and Kashmir, that is, if the center decides to go for elections there sometime next year. Just to sum it up, for all Kejriwal's preparations, he must be pinning his hopes on the Congress and its recent track record of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. That's all from me in this episode of Politically Correct. Thanks for watching.